The Tom Woods Show, episode 2220.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. I'm giving away three free courses from my Liberty Classroom. One of them is ex-Marxist Michael Rechtenwald teaching you about critical theory so you can understand leftism and fight it better, as well as our course on how Alexander Hamilton screwed up America and the history of the conservative and libertarian movements. Check it out at 3freecourses.com. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. I am thrilled to be joined today by Patty Weeks, who is chairman of the board of directors at DonorSee, which we've talked about quite a bit in the past. Of course, we had the late Gret Glier as a guest multiple times on the podcast. And before I bring Patty on, I want to set the stage a bit by telling you about, or perhaps reminding you about, what this thing is. DonorSee is an app. It was Gret Glier's idea. Now, Gret was a young man who spent several years living in Malawi, which at that time was the poorest country on earth. And he grew very fond of its people and began to think about what could he as one person do to make a difference in the lives of a lot of people. And he came up with the idea behind DonorSee. And we know that a lot of philanthropic organizations have very heavy overhead. Sometimes there's good reason for that overhead. But what they also have is lack of transparency. And that's just built into the way they do business. So I give, you know, the March of Dimes $10. I have no idea what happens to that. But the brilliance of DonorSee, which is why it's called DonorSee, D-O-N-O-R-S-E-E, is that the people contributing actually get to see with their physical eyes the good work that their contribution has done. So DonorSee will tend to have, it's not going to be, let's reconstruct this entire country after a hurricane. It's a bunch of micro causes. This particular person is struggling. This person needs just a little bit of money to open a business to support the whole family. Or this person can't see but could have his eyesight restored with just the right operation. And so let's suppose it is somebody like that who maybe is deaf and suddenly would be able to hear, or is blind and could be able to see. The donor would get video footage of the first time that person was able to see. It's an extremely moving experience to be part of. And as a matter of fact, one Christmas, I have five daughters, four of them were old enough to understand what was going on. I sat them down, I hooked the app up to my TV so we could all see it. They understood what DonorSee was. And I said, at Christmas time, let's go on DonorSee and we'll find people who are about the age of each of you. And we're going to send some kind of Christmas gift to all of them. You know, we're going to fund whatever it is that they need at Christmas time. And we got this wonderful footage back of all of them saying thank you. I mean, it's a great way for you to do good for projects that are vetted by reliable people, and also a way, as I've done, to teach good, smart, philanthropic activity to your own children. So that's a very, very long preface, Patty. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. So happy to be here. Long-time listener. Happy to join myself.
Well, very, very glad to have you. And this is the first time I've spoken to anybody from DonorSee since the terrible tragedy. And of course, I did an episode about Gret Glier and what happened to him. And I think it's the only episode where I did not use the intro and outro music to the podcast. It just didn't seem appropriate. I just let the show end and that was it. I really almost can't believe we're having this conversation, because the idea that I would outlive Gret Glier and that's the way the world would work was just unthinkable to me. So it's, of course, just not possible or desirable to have this conversation without tipping our hat to Gret. So maybe could you say a word about him, and then maybe let anybody who doesn't know what happened, let them know what happened?
Absolutely. Gret was, frankly, my closest friend, and I helped him build DonorSee for the last half decade. We both went to Grove City College, split directions, and he went to Malawi. He was actually in Malawi when I was over in Afghanistan, serving in the military. Both got real firsthand exposure to the poorest and most dire needs in the entire globe, and then came back and started working on the app together. And he was kind of with that charity background and that entrepreneurial streak, and me being his business partner with MBA alongside him, slowly building the team, building the app. and really achieving quite a bit of success and building quite a community across the world. And thank you, Tom Woods, and to the entire Tom Woods community. You all have been a big part of a lot of the good that we have done.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, yes, this past summer, he was actually murdered in his own home. No easy way to talk about it. I can't speak too much about it as there is a legal case pending. I got the phone call from his wife at 3 a.m. from the back of the police cruiser and will never forget that phone call, and spent the whole weekend with her and the broader family out here in Fairfax, Virginia. There was a suspect who was arrested. There's a trial pending. We have no evidence that it was connected at all to DonorSea. There's a couple news reports you can read out on which have fairly accurate information from what I can tell. The most I could say is we believe it was a man who, for years, from a distance, had kind of a delusional obsession with Brett's wife and is believed to be mentally ill. There's really nothing else I can say, but the trial preparations are ongoing right now. Just an insane tragedy. He was murdered at home in the middle of the night and had two kids under 2 years old in the house. His wife and the rest of the family were unharmed physically. Yeah, so very difficult for me, for the team. We definitely mourn Brett every day. He was an amazing young man. If there's any positive in all this, is that he had really built DonorSea into what it is, built an amazing technical product, put a first-class team in place, and you know, a broad community of support, including you and me, that are focused, that are talented, and we've had a lot of support over the summer. So thank you to everyone who contributed and sent messages to him, to his wife, to the team, to all of us. So I'm looking forward now. But yeah, hard to talk about.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought it was important to acknowledge what happened and, of course, to acknowledge him and his good work. And the thing is, even though he was a young guy, I felt like he was kind of larger than life because he was one of these people who really lived his beliefs. He didn't just talk about it. He really lived it. I mean, how many of us would move to Malawi for 3 years, you know, and then devote himself to coming up with ways to help people both there and elsewhere in the world? So I was concerned that maybe Gret was such the public face of DonorSea that his absence would potentially damage the project to the point where maybe it wouldn't be viable anymore. And there was no way for me to know that. And it reminded me of when Murray Rothbard died, and he was the academic star of the Mises Institute. And I wondered, what does this mean for the Mises Institute? Is this the end? And the Mises Institute is flourishing like never before now, largely building on the work of Murray Rothbard and building on his legacy and his memory. And all the people who loved him wanted to work even harder because they believed so much in what he believed. And it looks to me as if that's what's happening in the case of DonorSea.
Yes, absolutely. I think you are right to say, how can one visionary and communicator like Rothbard or Gret be replaced? And it's that one tree is replaced by many sprouts. This was Gret's first startup. He really discovered the magic that works on DonorSea when he was using other social media platforms to fundraise, using his video skills, because he's also a videographer part-time and gig work, and had special skills in communicating through all the modern media. One head of one of the missions agencies in Malawi told me that DonorSea has done more, and I can point out more projects across this whole entire area of Malawi than all the other NGOs with their massive budgets and Range Rovers and compounds all put together. And it's really that magic, which, you know, your audience knows well, of individual action and using technology and using motivated individual people harnessed by modern technology to make these changes. So that was kind of his unique insight, that a kid who just found corporate life empty and wanted to make an impact and go to Malawi and use Facebook to raise money could change the course of life for hundreds, thousands of people and to build that into a product and eventually into a company. But also he was a rookie CEO. And over a year ago, we actually had quietly brought on an experienced CEO onto the team to work alongside Gret, someone who had built a technology marketplace platform company in the healthcare space to help us with our product and go to market. And that's our current CEO, Owen. And so I think I would never say that we were well positioned, but I don't think that we're in a position to where the DonorSea dream will go up in a puff of smoke, where we have leadership and we have community to keep it going.
All right. Well, again, I want people to be looking at it. Of course, you can find it at DonorSea.com, DonorSea.com. But of course, get it as an app for your phone and check it out from time to time. Now, the thing is, in principle, although I think the idea behind DonorSea is to help the most vulnerable people in the world, there's no reason in principle that somebody couldn't file a cause, let's say, from right here in the U.S. on DonorC? And I know I've seen some.
Well, right now, it is fairly controlled and focused and curated what we find on there. So it is currently focused on the most dire problems in the developing world. One U.S. project that we put on there was for Gret and his family, but that was the exception,
right, yeah.
Not the norm.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of U.S. and U.K.-based agencies on there. But the work and the money usually does go over to the third world, if we can say that.
So do you have partners on the ground that help you to know for sure that such and such is a legitimate project and that the money is going to get where it's supposed to go?
Yes, absolutely. And that's really the secret sauce, is that, you know, there are a lot of these great organizations that we know, that workers in the industry would know, that come in through referrals, that we can vet and confirm. But so many of them are really focused on making the difference on the front lines and for the people in dire need that are, it's still, even with modern technology, so disconnected from our experience day to day here. And what DonorC provides is like this technology layer or platform or connector, which is almost hard to explain the impact of it until you experience it yourself. The best way to get somebody like you and your family to try it for the first time is to talk about that lack of transparency. Well, when you drop that quarter in the bucket or you donate the dime or whatever, you know where it's going. Not really, not at all. That trust and transparency is really intriguing to people. I remember my first donation was, I don't know, $50 to help build a well. And then a couple of weeks later, after I think seven people put together a few hundred dollars, this well was built, and we get videos of just like children like laughing and crying and dancing and saving an entire village a 4-hour walk every day to go get clean water. And that transparency was great, but what really made impact was that emotional connection of, oh, wow, we are doing good. And like you, I have two boys, 6 and 9, and they're able to see a whole different world from their privileged Northern Virginia upbringing about what kids are going through in other nations, and give $2 and receive, which is, you know, a lot out of their allowance or something, and to receive that video impact. So we're furthering the work of a lot of charities and a lot of these nonprofits, a lot of these great kind of unknown organizations. But at the same time, we're trying to approach the whole industry like a tech company from a for-profit angle, which is a much different. But I say, Tom, if you were an entrepreneur, just in general, attacking an industry that had barely changed, you know, 1% a year, very slow incremental change, and you wanted to make a radical change and invest in a lot of technology, how do you think you would get the funding for that in general?
And where am I living?
In the States. In the modern world, in the West, how would you fund a very ambitious startup which wanted to disrupt an industry, which is a normal way?
Well, I could do a bunch of things, but one of them would be I could either seek out investors, or I could go to the bank, or I could crowdfund. Mm-hmm. I could appeal to my existing community, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And the more ambitious it is, probably the more you're looking into venture capital, crowdfunding, things like that. But then,
yeah,
what are those people looking for when they want to invest in your idea?
Well, they want return.
Right. And then where's that return supposed to come from?
Well, where are you going with this?
You'll see in a sec. The return would have to come from profits from the business, right?
Profits, yeah, of course.
Right. But we have an entire industry where if you make any profit, you're looked at as some kind of scumbag Scrooge.
Right.
If you want to create a social media market or some violent movie and sell that to kids across America in movie theaters, good on you, right?
Yeah.
But then as soon as you want to do something to really help people who really need the help and connect people who care about it across the world, well, you're basically considered a parasite yourself. But no worries selling $50 million of violent video games to kids. You get celebrated. So
right,
we have an unapologetic, entrepreneurial, capitalist look at what an industry needs. And that's who we're really serving, enabling all this good work that's already going, but from a partnership point of view. So I just thought that might be interesting to point out to the audience.
Yes. Well, in light of that, maybe now's an opportune moment to say something about the fundraising campaign that you have going.
Absolutely. Actually, we have been growing even through this past summer with all the tragedy, everything that's gone on. And we're going to be launching another fundraising round this upcoming winter here. And if you go to donorc.com/invest, you can see that it's actually a crowdfunding round. So I think that crowdfunding is a really interesting, modern, of course, very entrepreneurial take on investing that would appeal to our community, our joint community here. And if you look at it, you can invest any amount, I believe, above $100 per individual. And for your community, we are actually offering a 20% early bird discount. We get 20% more equity for the first 200K raise. So if you go to donorsee.com/invest, donorsee.com/invest, you can see our video, learn more about the company, and see if you want to invest as well, which is a unique intersection of making an impact in the world and also investing in a business, which is truly sustainable.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. When we're confident and well-adjusted, we can stay in problem-solving mode all the time. But when we're not, and we find ourselves faced with a challenge, we can easily get knocked off balance, catastrophizing, worrying about the worst possible outcome, and obsessing over the problems rather than working on solutions. Well, a therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals. Years ago, when I faced a difficult issue in my own life, not only did I go to a therapist, I actually went to BetterHelp specifically. And before too long, the issue was resolved. So if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option, I can tell you from my own personal experience. It's so convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, it's entirely online, no long drives or waiting rooms, and you get matched with a therapist after you fill out just a brief survey, and you can switch therapists anytime. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/woods today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/woods. Now, let me raise a, not quite an objection, but a difficulty that maybe right. You face in 2022, which is, you know, people have, obviously the COVID stuff disproportionately affected the very kind of people you're trying to help. We know that, but it still did affect the developed world very, very significantly. And now we're facing, in the aftermath of that, rapidly rising prices and other difficulties in the developed world. And so it may fall on deaf ears for you to say, oh, but there's so much suffering going on elsewhere in the world when people are so understandably focused on their own immediate situations. What do you do to crack through in a case like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I also thought that recessions and stock market crashes and things like that would lead to a pullback in charitable giving. But at least looking historically, that's not been the case. Perhaps a slowdown in growth of charitable giving, but not really any significant pullback in donations. There's a couple, I've just got on the limb and hypothesized here, but perhaps for us, there's more of a like a flight to quality, if you will, or, well, I will pull back one of my 10 charitable gifts every month, every quarter, but this is the one I'm definitely going to keep because I really trust these guys. I really get a lot out of it. I really appreciate what the work they're doing. Another thing just might be during hard times, other people step up to the plate. Maybe there's an increase in kind of empathy of those who have it even worse. But yeah, actually, historically, we have not seen that data personally for DonorSeek or across the industry.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, in a way that is contrary to what we might expect. So I'm happy for your sake to hear that. You know, when you were talking about your kids and DonorSeek, I was thinking that this is a way you can convey an important message to kids who grow up in a world in which, for them, there was never no internet. There was always this technology whereby at your fingertips, you have access to any information you want. You can connect with people and, you know, entertainers all around the world. You can, whatever it is you want, you can get instantly delivered right to your door. And so sometimes you hear them complaining, you know, well, the internet is out for 5 minutes and it's like it's the end of the world. This can bring them back to earth and show them, look, you see what you're seeing on this app, the DonorSeek app. This is how the whole world was a few hundred years ago. The whole world was at this material level. And there's a huge number of people who still live this way. And so that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have problems just because some people have it worse, but it does mean you need to have some perspective and pause and be grateful and thankful for what you do have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the world has made amazing strides going over 100 years, roughly 90% in extreme poverty to down to 10%. And that's unfortunately gone the wrong direction for the last 20 plus months. But I think it's, well, let me just tell you one quick story. I was in Afghanistan meeting with some local village elders 10 years ago now. And I mean, half these guys were illiterate. All their parents were illiterate farmers probably. And one of them got bored with what we were saying and pulled an iPhone out of his pocket. And I just about fell out of my chair as it felt like someone pulled out an iPhone in like the 8th century. And what's interesting is that kind of advancement it was so disaggregated and so discontinuous across these areas that it enables us to reach in and really touch a lot of lives. At the same time, the people are truly living hand to mouth and they don't have that buffer of where something goes wrong. It reminds me of this story, you know, Grant told. I'll just recap briefly, that really gave him the motivation to start this company where a young girl he knew lost her mother because the mother didn't have $20 to get to the hospital for an operation. And it just, I think we're at a unique time where something like this could never have happened before. And in 10 years, donorcy and other similar approaches are just going to be so commonplace and so effective that our kids will also not imagine a time before that, just like my kids and your kids can't imagine a time before the internet.
We've given a couple of examples, but just for people to be able to put some flesh on the bones here, can you give a few examples of particular causes that were funded through DonorSee that you found especially moving or worthwhile?
Absolutely. They range from small to larger ones as well. Just yesterday, I saw an amazing update of a man who was living with an avocado-sized tumor on the side of his face, which was extremely painful night and day. And obviously, you can imagine how much it interfered with his daily life and probably eventually would have killed him. And a couple donors got together a very small amount of money, relatively speaking from a Western sense, and was able to get that operated on fairly locally for him, because obviously there's some level of infrastructure around. And now he lives pain-free and will have decades more of life, God willing. And those people really get to feel like they were part of his story and connect with him personally and see that and get to know the good that they did. And that's the magic. I feel like we get caught up a little bit too much in talking about the features or technology, but the magic is in like those human moments that really encourage people and users of the platform. And then the other one, which is fairly famous from last year and your listeners had a big impact on, is the first STEM school in Malawi accepting girls has been funded.
And this is one of the bigger projects, clearly.
Right. And so this is a six-figure project and takes a while to build and get off the ground and everything. And it's working with a partner organization over there. But when you think about some of the sustainability goals, how popular it is to talk about sustainability, you might say, okay, well, one person here and there helping them with an operation doesn't really fix the whole infrastructure or society. Well, once you start educating people, I mean, that school is going to be a bulwark of that entire broader community for generations to come. And I've actually met personally with one of our partners who runs a thriving little nonprofit business, if you will, over there, who was a graduate of an earlier school and now has a couple iPhones and a little motorbike and goes around just helping people and connecting with a broad, rich community of donors here in the States. And just imagine that multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. So particularly like from our background and our economic point of view, it's just a really encouraging way to see how individuals through free action and mutual cooperation can actually make the change that governments have been throwing millions and billions of dollars at for generations.
I would guess that one of the things that would help you guys the most would be just more publicity, just being featured on more podcasts like this or much bigger programs than this. So I would just say to anybody listening, I know I have some podcasters in my audience. I know who some of you are. And this is not that a podcast is a charitable work, but in a case like this, this is a way that you can genuinely improve the world by letting people know about this extremely important venture. So I would urge people to, in fact, contact you. In fact, what would be a good way to reach somebody at DonorSee who can line somebody up for a podcast appearance?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just contact us right through our website or social media, DonorSee.com, and we're happy to field that. But yeah, getting the word out would be great. Partnering with organizations would be very meaningful as well. And then we really believe in what we're building as a technology platform and something that will scale richly in the future. So I encourage everyone individually to check out DonorSee.com/invest. See if you want to come alongside us in a real sustainable way in building this great organization.
All right. Well, I'll have it linked, of course, on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/2220. And Patty Weeks, thanks so much for your time. And I hope DonorSee grows by leaps and bounds in the years to come.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. And thank you all for the support so far. And I look forward to building the community even more together.
All right, everybody. A couple quick things. I forgot to mention about Patty Weeks that he was a student at Grove City College and had Jeff Herbener and Sean Rittenour as professors. They've both been guests on the Tom Woods Show. They're both scholars of the Mises Institute. They're both good friends of mine I've known a long time. So these are all just great people all around. And this is a wonderful organization to support. It has my 100% seal of approval, DonorC. The other thing I wanted to tell you about, if you're not on my newsletter list, tisk tisk, is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., another person I've had on the Tom Woods Show, took his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, which is a big book, and has converted it now into a documentary film. And you know that the problem with big books is that people don't read them. And we have far too urgent of a message to share with the world to confine it just to that small sliver of the public that will read a long book. They might watch a documentary. So I had a chance to get a pre-release viewing of The Real Anthony Fauci documentary film, and it's just outstanding. You're just absolutely going to love it. You're going to want to have viewing parties. You're going to want to tell your friends all about it. And for about a 10-day period, he's opening it to the public to watch for free. So RFK has decided on a 10-day free viewing period. So if you hear this in time, I'm recording this on October... What is today's date? You'll probably be hearing this October 18th, 17th or 18th, something like that. So you'll have at least a week plus still to watch it for free. And you can watch it by going to tomwoods.com/Fauci. tomwoods.com/Fauci. It's very, very much worth watching. A whole bunch of people who have been guests on the Tom Woods Show are in it. McCullough's in it, of course. Pierre Corey, whom I had on not too long ago, is in it. A whole bunch of people you would want to be in it are to be found there. So head over to tomwoods.com/Fauci, watch with your loved ones, and enjoy. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.